So is this picking up all the mic?
Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. All right. We'll reconvene out of closed session. So at this time, will you please join me in the flag salute?
Again, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So at this time on the agenda, we have asylum observance. There's a lot of our fellow citizens in the United States and also in Northern California that can use our good energy at this time. Okay, roll call, please.
Excuse me, Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Ohilski?
Present.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Vice President Millage?
Here.
President Storm?
Here.
Thank you.
And before we move any further, I just want to announce that the following items are being removed from the consent agenda. That's 11D, as in dog, 11D, financial reports ending August 31st, 2017. And item 11E, E is in egg, financial year-end report for 2016-17. These items are going to the Finance Committee for review at the October 30th committee meeting. Okay. So moving right along, we need a report out of closed session.
There was no reportable action.
Okay. Then we are on public comment for items not on the agenda. This is for items not on the agenda. Okay, here we go.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and something not on the agenda is, and I'm just going to refer back to the minutes of the July 6th board meeting, wherein your board adopted the current year's fiscal budget. Your board directed staff to improve upon the budget, making some specific recommendations. I won't go into them now because you can go to these minutes yourselves and you might recall some of the direction that was given, predicating that this is what you're approving. This is what you wanted included in that approval. That budget has not been brought back to you. It has not been brought back to the Finance Committee. We, the public, you, yourselves, have not been able to see how this works. Because when you direct your staff to change something, you've got to see what the final end product of the numbers are. That has not happened. Interesting that the two items that were taken off of the agenda, I am allowed to speak to those, in that they were before the Finance Committee just this past Monday, and they're a shambles. So you, something President Storm said when the budget process was underway, after the budget had gone to the Finance Committee several times, he wanted your board to take the bull by the horns and make some decisions and fix it yourselves. Well, how do you know if it's fixed? You haven't seen it. Committee hasn't seen it. And what the committee did look at on Monday is a mess. That's what you're taking off of this agenda tonight. It leads into the question about whether or not you should have a full-time accountant on staff. Someone's here to watch the numbers come and go. I think that would be money better spent than the idea that you are giving more time to your general manager to do a mediocre job. So thank you for your time, and I hope to see the budget coming back to your board post haste.
Thank you.
Steve Best. I've been up here a number of times wondering what's going on. Went to the Basin Management meeting recently, and they're talking about putting water from the sewer plant into the upper creek area of Los Osos Creek. Currently, they're putting that same water up into the Broderson leach field. And that water has basically been filtered for its the crap that comes from the town, but all the other stuff that and the nitrates out of it. But basically, all the prescriptions, all the paint thinners and paints and poisons and salts and all the other things that contaminate the water that goes into the sewer system is still there in that effluent that comes out of the that treated water that comes out of the plant, and it's going back into the aquifer, back into the upper aquifer through the Broderson, and now they're talking about putting that same water into the lower aquifer through the creek, and it's all about making sure that we can get that getting that water put back into the ground so we can say what good people we are here at Los Osos, that we can manage our aquifer and that we can make room for all the people that want to develop here. And what a lovely place Los Osos is to develop, so we can raise the amount of people that we have here in this town, and turn this town into a real horror show of lack of infrastructure and problems and all kinds of making this place no longer a place that we want to live. And I had a conversation with Julie Brown, or not Julie, but Carrie Brown the other day. At her office, and it was specifically about parks and trails and bike trails and the community plan, and because she is responsible right now of getting the community plan on paper and getting it fleshed out so that we can all see it in its full glory and putting it out there. Right now it's in the ER status. And it's going to be revealed so that we can all say, yes, this looks great, and we can implement it. And we can say, yes, we got plenty of potable water because we've healed our aquifers. Well, it's a bunch of garbage. We're not healing our aquifer. We're going to poison our aquifer with the water that we're putting from the treatment plant. And then we're going to make this town into a miserable, overdeveloped piece of property that we are living like a bunch of rats in an overcrowded cage. And we don't have any parks. Basically, Carrie said that it's up to you guys to come up with the parks. Where are our parks? We have no parks. This is the park that we have over here. We have no parks.
Thank you.
You took an opportunity that we had to take that park and manage it, but no, we're spending all of our money on a dog park. Thank you.
Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda. And we will move on to administrative and committee reports. Item A, Fire Department report. I'm surprised you're here.
Yes, me too, actually. Well,
I'm glad to see you. Don't take that the wrong way.
I understand. I'm one of the few that, chiefs that are left. We definitely have been very busy. We've deployed over 200 resources and strike teams and crews and dozers and have a full deployment. But at the same time, we're still covering our area here locally. Our fellows are still in place, and we've got quite a few reserve engines in place still strategically throughout the county. Good evening, Honorable Board. My name is Greg Alex. I'm the Battalion Chief of the North Coast Battalion, and I represent the Station 15 Los Osos. I'd like to give you my report for August of 2017, and we'll start with the emergency activity for the that time frame, and we're doing some changes. So in August 20th, we have converted on our computer-aided dispatching system to gather statistical information that is attached to our computer-aided dispatches system, and so you're going to see changes in the reports in the way they come, and they're more sophisticated. They'll give you more detailed information about the fires, about what the workload of your community and your fire equipment are doing throughout the community. And I hope to work with General Manager Osborne to refine that. One of our challenges has been we can't see congruent calls when calls are occurring at the same time, and I think that's important for the community to understand why we need two apparatuses in this community, and so we want to make sure we're capturing that data. Station 15 responded in the month of August. We responded to 100 calls. 72 of them were medical aids. 5 incidents were traffic collisions. 12 incidents were reported as fires. 16 public service assists, and we responded 3 times outside of the district. Company 15 was called to cover 3 times during that that period in August. Next section is our administrative level. Staff's been busy collecting bids for the new command staff vehicle. We're on a delay. The 2018, if we wait a couple months, we can use the state contract and just see what that bid looks like from the state. So we want to take advantage of both the state or the county resources that we have. And so we'll be coming to you soon with those bids. Special programs that we dealt with during the month of August. We started our preparations for the safety fair. And so that was last Saturday. Successful event. We were super excited about it. We reached out to the community. We had over 250 folks that attended. We had a lunch that we brought in and had donations that were made for the lunch that ended up going to the Ann Roush Burn Foundation at the total of $340 that we presented today at the school. And it was in the Rite Aid parking lot. We gave tours of the fire engine to the public and to the youth. We had true-to-life training in our firehouse. We have a big RV that's a county resource that we bring in. We fill one room with smoke, and then we talk about how to escape from your and have an escape plan from your residence. We also give that message of get low and get out, essentially. We also had a fire rescue simulator where we lift the children up on a rescue system. We place them in a container that looks like a chimney and have them rescue a teddy bear, and they come back out. A flash pan where we teach the pass system, point, aim, squeeze, sweep, so that people are aware of how to use their extinguishers should they need that. The whole thing's geared around the teaching youth just some fundamental skills, and we use a stamp card where they put they go to each station, they get a stamp if they complete that task. So CPR, stop, drop, and roll, the flash pan, and the firehouse, and getting a plan. Also attending that event was the Slo County Sheriff's Office. Their search and rescue team were there, and they talked about search and rescue and what events take place there, and we thank you for that. Also, the we had the San Luis Ambulance were there, and the Fire Safe, your local Fire Safe Council focus group was also there. And so they were able to get out information about preparing homes and what that looks like. Another special project we did in August, Station 15 started the planning for Fire Prevention Week. We're in Fire Prevention Week right now. Ironically, this week seems to be a heavy workload for us in our in the fire service around the state. October 8th through the 14th. This year's message is every second counts and plan two ways out. And so we brought that out also at the safety fair. It's on our marquee that's at the station. And we have information at the station if anybody would be interested for that. Medic 215 was also involved in the burn relay. So through the Ann Roush Foundation, we could get together with local fire agencies, and we do a parade basically with our lights on, and we visit the elementary schools throughout the county. 215 was involved with that, as well as Medic 15 engine companies, and they went through the neighborhood and into the schools, and then give that message of stop, drop, and roll, and every second counts, and we provided that message to the youth again and the public with that. Also, on March 19th, Medic Engine 215 had been taken out of service. We've been talking about this each board meeting. That's finally resolved, and 215, I'm glad to say and report that it's back in service. We have the depth that we need. We were able to borrow from Avila Service District Engine 262. That was free of charge, and so we had that for several months, and so that's back in service. Also, South Bay hosted a local woman who was interested in the fire department. She did a ride-along, and we wanted to make sure we got that message out. Ride-alongs are available at the station. You can come see what our life looks like from morning to night and drive around. And, of course, they respond to calls, but they're not obligated to do anything. So if you're interested in that, please contact our fire station, and we'd be glad to get you involved with that program. We're getting very close. We're on our weed abatement. In all 288 lots in this service district were found in violation. We've gone through our second and third inspections. We're down to final notices. And I'm happy to report we're down to just three properties, lots that we're still working with. And it's been a challenge with some of the properties, and the banded snail is one of the issues. We can't do the weed abatement in the areas that we really are looking to do the weed abatement. So we're working with the Land Conservancy, and happy to report today I had a meeting with them, and they will be getting a lot that's down south of us along the streets there. So that's happening. And any questions about my report?
I have a question.
Yes,
anyone
sir.
Else do? So I've heard in the news that there was a sort of convergence of weather in the spring and winter and weather now that led to the conditions in the other wine country. And I'm wondering, I know we had some rain and the weather here has been a little bit weird. To what extent is it different or similar here, and are we in a similar kind of danger zone?
We sure are. And so we were, as you know, the 5-year drought, and the brush is critically dry, and it has been critically dry. And because of the weird seasons, the brush has been when it rained, it absorbed a tremendous amount of moisture, much more than it normally does. When you look at the bar graph, it went probably 40% more than what it ever has before after when the rains came this year. And then, ironically, it dumped the fuel moistures just as fast as it took it. And the grass grew to, what we would what you would normally see in California. So what that creates is a layer of dry, dense grass with very critically injured brush that's trying to still find its moisture. And so and in this case that happened here just a few days ago, it just is an explosive combination. The grass carries the flames quicker. The wind, of course, is our biggest challenge. And anytime we get over about 20 mile an hour winds, we struggle to extinguish fires. And so the wind and the combination of the dry grasses and the dry brush, and then the pine the trees in the area. So our oaks are doing well, but the pine trees, as you know, are struggling. And the combination of it, it all just made a very explosive combination. In Los Osos, we have that same exact issue. And so, my focus for this winter will be fuel reduction that will be on the south side of town and throughout the interior of the lots that are there, and hopefully seeking grants that we can use to get that fuel modification in place and go back to the ones that we did. Definitely is a focus of ours, but they're not cheap, and the fuel reduction projects typically run around 40 to up to 100,000, depending on what areas we're talking about. So, but that's definitely a focus of mine for this winter.
Thank you, and I think it's been a cause to reflect on, preparation, go bags. What are you going to grab when you have?
That's correct.
Just a little bit of time to go.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I have a couple announcements. We're starting our kickoff for our toy drives and the Seasons of Hope food drive. We've got our containers up there to collect at the station. And if you have food that you'd like to bring over for Seasons of Hope, we are beginning to collect those at that location. Also is Operation Santa Claus. And so we bring in toys, and we're getting ready to start that also. So the containers are there. It benefits kids who are in need of care and for the positive services that are available, and Seasons of Hope begins. And also the Needs and Wishes holiday fundraiser. So the date is December 9th, and it'll be after the parade. Location is at the South Bay Community Center, and our barrels will be there also to take donations. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
No, I just wanted to thank you for the fire safety fair, because I went to that event.
Nice.
And it was very, very well attended, and I thought your guys did a really, really excellent job. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass that message to our fellow. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening, Commander Jim Vogue of Coast Station. This last month, we had 278 calls for service. That's a slight reduction from the 316 we had before that. One of our biggest areas are suspicious vehicles, suspicious circumstances, or suspected criminal acts. We had 52 of those, 5 phone scams, FBI, Treasury, Postal Service, and IRS. So it was all federal this time for phone scams. 4 vandalisms, 4 animal cruelty, dogs in car. All the dogs were okay. 16 thefts and 4 burglaries, and 59, our leader, was disturbing the peace. So 59 calls for disturbing the peace. Here's some notable incidences. On the 9th of September, 1,000 block of LOVR, 57-year-old Napoma woman walked into doggy daycare and wanted an employee to pray with her. She then tried to liberate a 15-month, $2,500 German Shepherd from doggy daycare to be her new companion. The employees acted quickly and stopped her and called us, and she told us that voices were in her head telling her to take the dog. So luckily the dog was okay, and hopefully she'll get some help. I think this is more of a mental illness than a professional thief. On the 17th, 2100 block of Fairchild Way, a woman was choked by her ex-boyfriend in front of her five-year-old son. He already had a domestic violence restraining order against him, but they had gone on a date. They had a date night that night, even with the restraining order there. But we did arrest him for felony domestic violence. The next thing I want to go to, and this will finish what I'm going to do, but it's a little bit extensive, is talk about our homeless situation here. As you all know, and I might have discussed this before about our team that we have out there that tries to deal with homeless issues throughout the county. I call that the carrot and the stick. They're the carrot part. They really try to go out to help people that want their help, that need their help. They try to encourage them for help. They try to obtain services for them. They even, after they're arrested, try to do that in the jail, especially drug and alcohol services, housing, vet services, that type of thing. Then we have, you know, another breed of homeless that are chronic homeless that don't really want to go anywhere else, that want to stay in the same conditions, particularly when they're involved in crime or in homeless camps that are trespassing and camping in areas that shouldn't be camped in. We had a complaint recently coming from your office, and I believe I spoke to the individual before, and I did, you know, take some action on that, but, you know, we kind of did the carrot approach and tried to get as many people that would wanted to be helped. So here's what we've done. I've got a brand new senior deputy that's very eager to get into this, because it's not as simple as going out there and citing people or arresting people. The area that we're talking about, actually, we have kind of a success story. Right down the street, there's a vacant lot that goes from 9th to 10th. There's an oak tree in the middle of it. We had a lady there, a 20-year-old lady that lived in a granny unit there, that said, you know, I'm not against the homeless, but they're continually waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They shout profanities to me when I'm trying to get in there, and they're illegally camping. So I went back there with the 1970s approach from where I came out, and I said, get out of here. But, of course, that's probably not the way to do it nowadays. And I said, pick up your stuff, too. You know, you got 10 minutes. Anyway, so, but nowadays, what I needed to do, which I found out through my younger deputies, is find out who owns the property. It's owned by a trust. Go through that. Get no trespassing signs. Get their permission. Warn them and give them so much time, more than my 10 minutes. But anyway, but I do not like to see people bullied or abused, and I won't have that. So we call this the transitory crime abatement, and this is really looking at the Palisades open space over there. And that's from, you know, Borderson and Palisades. That's a big lot if you ever go over. I'm sure you're familiar with that, right by the community center. It's not something where we can drive by like this oak tree lot over here and quickly enforce. So the short-term plan, we just had a meeting yesterday about it. Complete a thorough analysis of the Palisades open space, and it's owned by the Morro Shores RV Park with code enforcement and Sheriff's Community Action Team. What I said before, more of the carrot approach. Try to get people out that want to that want the services, that we just got to stop this continuing cycle back there. We're then going to identify people there, and we've already started to do that, and serve eviction paperwork and offer services to all known illegal campers residing in the Palisades open space. One of the big problems in this area, besides just the litter that's there, are things like needles that are there, are also things like trash that are there, biological stuff that's there. And we want to, you know, especially in Los Osos, we don't want that. We don't want that anywhere, so we need to clean that up. The problem is when it's private property as opposed to public property, we can't actually take their stuff. That's up to the property owner. So we have to work with the property owner. So we're surveying the property once all evictions have been completed and work with Morro Shores RV Park to assist with trash and abandoned property removal plan to ensure the safe open space for the community. Now, I understand this has happened in the past. They do a cleanup or what you would call a sweep, and then everything goes, you know, it takes several months and it goes back to the way it is. You know, we have to get everybody on board with this. And, you know, while I'm here, this is what, you know, I intend to do. Here's a long-term plan. We're requesting Morro Shores to post a no camping sign along the perimeter and entry points, establish fencing that would diminish or deny unauthorized vehicle access to the area, and post a set of rules and guidelines of access and use of the property and all pedestrian trailheads with the authority to revoke people's access if rules are not followed. And this is the problem, is that when you don't want a homeless situation there, people are easy to jump at trespass. Well, it's private property, but trespass. It's like somebody going in your backyard. But nobody really has problems with somebody walking their dog, with residents around the area using that open space to walk their dog. So to be a homeless person isn't a crime. Okay, so if we say, well, that guy's homeless, they're just walking their dog, we can't arrest somebody for being homeless, nor should we. So, you know, they should have every right as anybody else would have. The problem is really in the camping and the overnight staying there and the potential fire hazard, too, that we have to worry about. Then we're going to establish a schedule of area inspections, area patrols, neighborhood watch programs to ensure illegal camping continues to be absent in the open space. So it's ambitious, and to be realistic, when you take a homeless population, particularly that population that doesn't really want to move, they're going to be displaced. And they're not automatically displaced in jail. They're displaced in the community. So we have to continue doing this, but, you know, we can't just quit on this. We have to do the best we can. And as I said, use the homeless services for them the best we can. And those that, that will not go along the easy way, we have to use our enforcement services the best we can. So, do I have any questions about that at all?
Chuck?
Yes, sir.
There used to be a lot of activity in the trees on the north side of Ramona, near Pine, between Pine and Broderson. And it seems to have quieted down. There were some no trespassing signs posted. I'm just wondering, have you noticed a drop off in activity there too? Are you getting as many calls?
Yeah. We're not getting as many calls right there. We just know that whole area up there that we're having the problem. But
well,
not
I mean, it used to be. I used to watch them carry picnic tables and things back in there and couches. And every once in a while, we'd go in and clean it up.
Right.
But it just seems like it's been quieter lately. And I don't know if the signs, whatever has been done, seems to have helped.
Yes.
So good luck elsewhere.
Sometimes signs work better than cameras. We have the Bob Jones Trailhead parking lot gets burglarized a lot, and we put a camera up there, which helped us catch some people, and then sometimes we couldn't see them. But then we put up a sign, and that drastically reduced burglaries there. So signs really help. Fencing helps, too. The other thing is when you make property owners responsible for private land, we can get to the point we spoke with code enforcement. I mean, this is not what we want to do, but they can actually go out there. They can actually require them to fence it. They can actually go out there and pick up, you know, refuse up there and then charge the property owners, and I'm sure it's not cheap. So, but that's not what we want to do. We kind of want to work together on this it's obviously a complicated problem, you know, the whole homeless issue. We don't quit on this thing and we continue the best we can.
Thank you.
Director Hilsky?
I just wanted to piggyback on that because you're talking about the Audubon Society property, and we've been much, much more aggressive. I'm their attorney, okay? So we've been much, much more aggressive in making sure with the no trespassing signs been posted and also with making sure the litter and the sofas and the stuff that was being dumped on the property is being removed. So I think what you said is exactly right. With having much, much more active participation in the clearancing, et cetera, that's the reason that's gone down in that particular location.
But okay, I was under the impression that was privately held. No.
Well, it is privately held, but...
Well, okay, by a friend of mine. Okay. Well, I'll talk to you about that.
Yeah. In Catty Corner from your lot, that's yeah. Audubon Society property.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Anything else?
Okay. Thank you so much.
That ends the report. Thank you. All
right. Utilities Department report.
Good evening, board members, fellow Mr. President. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm the Utility Systems Manager, and tonight I'll be presenting you with the Utility Department report. First off, we'll start off with the water production information for the month of August. As you see on the report, approximately 17.4 million gallons was produced from all the wells that we have, and that equates to approximately about 572,000 gallons per day, and that's a small increase of about 5.7% from the previous year. It's also a small increase in the gallons per day per capita for the residents in the community of Los Osos at about 75.2 gallons per day per capita. As you notice, the increase in production and also a little bit of increase in the gallons per capita, we're hoping that the residents do realize, you know, we can't continue that trend, as that got us into a little bit of an issue statewide with the drought, and it's good for the revenues, but not necessarily for the wells or the aquifer. Move on to the production and runtime at the wells. If you look at the individual wells, I did also include on there that the increase and decrease at each site. If you notice at the Palisades well, there was a 17% decrease based off of last year's production from that well. At the other well sites, there was a small increase with well 8 leading the way at about 42% increase from last year. The runtime hours on the motors as well reflect those increases and decreases based on last year's usage. Moving on to the water billing information, if you notice out of that 17 million gallons, 15 million gallons was delivered for consumption between the months of June and August, and that equates to 57% of our customers and the meters that we read during that time frame. That generated approximately $222,000 of revenue during that time period. And next I'll be reporting on some of the duties that were performed by the operations and maintenance staff during the month of August as during this time. The drainage basins that we have throughout town, maintenance has to be performed on those year-round, but especially around this time we start preparing for the rain, the incoming storms that may be coming, and some of those duties include the slopes, the banks, restoring them, weed abatement, cleanup, trash in those basins that does collect throughout the year, and also turnover on the bottom of the basins that will allow for better percolation when those storms in those basins do fill with water. Yearly preseason rain on our drainage stations, going in there, making sure that the pumps are operable, making sure that there's no debris in there, making sure there's no chance for those to plug up when they are called for during the rainy season. The crew also assisted for the exploratory phase for the phase two at well eight. We're getting ready to move on and do a phase two on drilling a new well at that same site. So the crews went around with the engineers. They also took photos, dug up some of the lines that are there right now, assisting them, showing them where the connections would go into the treatment process and then also out into the street. Valve and hydrant maintenance is a continual project that the operators work on. We exercise the valves to ensure that they will work in the event of emergency or for isolation of certain parts of the distribution system when needed. Hydrants, as we all know, those are a very important part of the system. And those have to be exercised, maintained, taken apart, and rebuilt at certain times. And during the month of August, they took two of those hydrants apart at 15th and Santa Isabel and 1100 Bach of 17th Street. Taking them apart requires isolating the hydrant, pulling apart, replacing parts, and rebuilding and putting them back in and making sure that they are operable. Semi-annual maintenance on our water quality and analyzers that are online to ensure that the water quality at the well sites is proper. Those analyzers report for chlorine residuals and for other water quality analysis, which is pertinent because that is reportable to the state based to let us know what our water quality is and how it's being maintained. Some of those duties to maintain those analyzers is pulling the tubing apart, pulling the analyzers apart, replacing reagents, ensuring that they will work at all times. Because the wells do run in the evening hours, they do run in off hours, so those analyzers do call out an operator and ensure that whoever is on standby at that time does get a call if something does happen at that well site, and it allows us to shut it off right away and respond promptly. We had a service line and water meter upgrade at 1252 Pasadena Drive. This was requested by the customer as they needed to get the service upgraded for fire demand compliance at that residence. The customer was charged time for the time and the equipment as well. We had a service line break at 2081 11th Street. The staff responded and they fixed the leak efficiently. They dug it up at the main line so that way they can isolate it there, and that minimized the amount of customers that were affected and ensured that only one service line was had to be shut off at that time. Aside from that, they continually do their rounds. They're on call 24/7. They respond to any emergencies at all hours. They're doing monthly reporting to the state as far as our water quality, our water production, and any other reports that the state requires. They do monthly meter reads, monthly non-payment shutoffs and turn-ons as well, and weekly emergency systems checks on all of our system as well. The drainage at the drainage site at 8th Street, we are getting ready to do some upgrades there, preparing for get ahead of the wet season coming up. One of those is purchasing of a new pump that's going to assist with that area for floods. Next, we'll move on to the rainfall totals. If you look at the chart, unfortunately, at the website, they maintain these rainfall totals. There's no information for July or August at this time. So when they do report those, I will add those in, as we did have some rain last month, which we always welcome. But when that comes in, I'll update the report as well. Drainage, we continue operating our drainage system under our NPDES permit. And Bayside Estates and Vista de Oro collection systems, we still are maintaining those. We still have a couple septic systems that we have to abandon. And we are preparing to get the transfer over to the county. We had Al Septic out there a couple weeks ago, jetting the system, ensuring that it's properly ready to hand over. That is one of the requirements of the county for them to take over ownership of that as well. That's all. If you notice, there are a couple charts and graphs that were included in this month's report. So if I have any questions on my report, I'll take them now.
Any questions?
Right.
No. Nope. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, General Manager report.
Good evening. Activities for the month of September. Legal counsel and I have been working with SLOCIA regarding the MOU for our bargaining unit for our staff. The community fund for sewer hookups. I met with the county, Morro Bay Estuary Program, and the Community Foundation representatives to discuss the process of issuing the funds to Los Osos residents needing assistance with the cost of their sewer hookups. The last I heard, there was about 272 hookups left or remaining to be done. We are currently working on guidelines and the application process, and we hope to have something out to everybody before by the end of October, early November. SDRMA, the district's insurance company, has issued a reimbursement to the district for $2,079.26 for overpayment of workman's comp. That's going to be distributed back to the 2016 budgets for water, fire, and admin. As SDRMA has also sent us an acknowledgement to the district regarding a no-claim year, which is also attached. The utility manager and I have been working on capital improvement projects and staff needs. Park and Recreation, the legal counsel is working on the requested changes to the dog park lease with the county. Parks and Rec Committee has been working on the items for a request for proposal for the nonprofit groups that are willing to operate the dog park and working on next steps. I've been working with the district bookkeeper on cleaning up past entries for the 2016-2017 fiscal year expenditures and budget. And the district's expense warrant report is now being fully produced in MIP, and the new look that you will see in 11C is the new warrant report directly generated by MIP. If there are any questions.
Director Hilsky?
Yeah, you might want to comment on Adrian joining.
Yes, so our bookkeeper has been looking for somebody that has even more knowledge than he has on fund accounting, a government fund accounting, and he did locate somebody, so we're really excited to have Adrian, and I can't say her last name. Do you remember Gillis? Or? Yeah, we'll stay at Adrian. Starts with a G. Adrian. Yeah, stay with Adrian. Sorry about that. And she's, yeah, so she's pretty great. Of course, they only spend about 8 hours a week on our stuff, so, you know, she's doing her best to catch up, and Bob is definitely allowing extra hours there to be done to try to, you know, get everything done that we need done. And so she's working on it, and she's hard at work and happy to do it and going to keep on working on it till we're happy.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for the general manager? Okay, LOCAC report.
Good evening, President Storm and members of the board. Let's see, LOCAC's been active these days. Yeah, Julia Oberhoff, LOCAC's chair. Last month we had a nice discussion, or maybe not so nice, but a discussion, I should say, with Commander Volk on the homeless issue, and so that's ongoing interest of ours. We were pleased to hear about the progress from Supervisor Gibson on the analysis of library sites and or working with the existing library for an expansion project, future to come. Let's see, we also, one of our members announced he had rather sticker shock with some of the sewer changes to his tax bill, and so as part of that, we followed up and posted on our website an outline of the list of charges and kind of explanations, so hopefully that was of help and resource to the community. And kind of following that, we decided to reinstate the community outreach committee. This will be beneficial, especially as we're seeing an influx of minor use permit applications. Let's see, what else? Pleased to hear about the progress that's being made on the dog park. So that's also of interest of ours. And then lastly, we're continuing to make progress on a review of the current vacation rental ordinance and how we may have an opportunity to fold in new review guidelines into the community plan update. And if this isn't possible with Carrie Brown's help, then short of that, we'll use those guidelines to help an internal means with which to review and weigh on individual applications. So vacation rentals, as you may be noticing, are those applications are coming up more frequently, and so we're trying to gauge what the community opinions are, both for and against, and develop those guidelines. That was it for last month, and I'm happy to take any questions if you have any.
Any questions for Julie?
Yes, I saw on your website some of the upcoming agenda items, and as you mentioned, there's a real uptick in minor use permits. There were three, I think, that caught my attention. One, just for the fact that one of the larger property owners on Second Street actually is applying for a minor use permit before he did something. The others were that, maybe so. The others were that there's four houses being proposed up on Highland and Mar Vista, I think it was, one property owner. Mm-hmm. Golden State apparently is issuing will serve letters. Mm-hmm. Another was to have a well drilled in, was it Falcon Way? The street's not even familiar to me, but it was a well to be drilled and the construction of a pool house in a pool.
That must be a current one about to be
Interesting. Is that on the way up toward Montaña de Oro, that street? I'm not...
Clark Valley.
Okay. Okay, I'm just trying to dial in where all the wells are going and swimming pools and all those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, I definitely encourage a lot of involvement, or if you have time, to come and sit in on the Land Use Committee meetings, and then short of that, just come to LOCAC.
Is that tonight, the Land Use Committee meeting?
Yeah, it was. Normally they don't coincide with you guys,
right.
But we're with each application that comes in, we've been asking a lot of Carrie Brown's support to really understand, are they continuing to apply the water use credits program for proposed developments, which she said that they are. For example, last month we heard one applicant present to us, which is the Chevron station. They're proposing to do a car wash there on part of their lot. They actually provided a very thorough presentation on the water efficiency. It's 9 gallons per wash, and the design of the pull through and lineup for cars and whatnot. But even that property owner is going to be required to do the credit
offset.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
Chamber.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. My name is Steve Vincent, and I'm with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The chamber has two new members. The first is a company called Really Sweet Stuff. It's a company that specializes in on-site estate liquidations. It's owned by Courtney Huckabee, and is located at 475 Morro Bay Boulevard in the Treasures Antique Mall. The other new member is Obispo Wealth Management. They offer financial planning for both businesses and individuals. It's owned by David Nielsen. It's located at 1301 Charo Street in San Luis. Some of our newer renewing members, LOCAC, San Luis Coastal Unified School District, Rabobank, Mike Kajonian of State Farm Insurance, San Luis Obispo Noor Foundation, CopySpot, and Capital Finance. The Chamber is looking for a part-time advertising sales rep for securing ad sales for the Chamber website, weekly e-blast sponsors, and the e-newsletter. We're looking for someone with experience in sales and comfortable in making cold calls, good time management skills, and an outgoing personality. If you're interested or know someone who might be interested, please contact the Chamber. Last month's September Business of the Month was Los Osos Auto Body. As many of you know, Los Osos Auto Body opened its doors back in 1985 as a family business. Today, that small family business has grown, but it hasn't lost its small-town roots. Employees that have been with them since they opened the doors, free loaner cars, and four generations of the Robinsons in-house, this is the definition of a caring family business. Looking at the calendar, this month marks the second annual Bear Festival of Los Osos. Everyone's invited to participate by creating a Los Osos bear, similar to the scarecrows in Cambria. Big, small, friendly, silly, serious. We invite local businesses, community artists, creative professionals, organizations, and students to create something special for visitors in the community of Los Osos. All bears must be in place by October 20, and the winners are going to be announced at the segue into the 39th annual and Oktoberfest and 12th annual car show that's going to be held on 2nd Street in Baywood on Sunday, October 29th. Admission is free. Since 1977, the festival has grown from a small group of vendors and musicians to a popular countywide event. There'll be live music, entertainment, a beer garden, food, arts and crafts, pet and people costume contests, and activities for the kids and more. There's still time to get a vendor booth. Just contact the chamber for more details. And that concludes my report. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, Utilities Advisory Committee report. Director Cesania.
Yes, we did meet this month, mostly because it was time for everyone to meet Jose and just kind of keep committee meetings going. We have a capital improvement program that we need to attend to, and we actually had a Basin Management Committee meeting that we were able to report on last month. So those were the kind of the things that we covered. This month we're going to be meeting and looking at how to apportion the reserve funds and how to handle the money that was left over from the end of last year, last budget year, and that'll be our key endeavor this month.
Okay. Thank you. Parks and Rec Committee.
Okay, over the last several months, the Parks and Rec Committee has been working in two areas. One is to define what are sort of best practices and best policies to run a dog park in a community like ours. This has involved working as individuals and rating various things, and then coming together and see, well, what does a committee as a whole think is what we ought to sort of emphasize as this goes forward. And we hope it's going to go forward sooner than we all have been waiting. So, lots of progress.
Okay, thank you. Director's announcements of...
Wait.
Yeah.
No. Well, my financial advisory committee is not on there, so if I could give that... Report.
Yes, you could.
I'm sorry. That was oversight on the agenda, so Ann's taking responsibility. The Finance Committee did meet, so there's a couple items that there's actually three items that I want to just bring up to speed. One is the committee did recommend approval by the board of the warrant register that's on the agenda, item 11C. So, and then the other two items that involve them, which are 11D and 11E, there was two comments. 11D, what the Finance Committee discussed, and this is why I brought up the Adrian issue, or not the issue, but Adrian being involved and being new to the district, was the financial reports that were ending August 31st. The Finance Committee wanted to see some reorganization of the balance sheets and some corrections made to those balance sheets before they recommended the receive and file. So that's why that item was pulled, because that's going to go back to the Finance Committee at the next monthly meeting. And then, on 11E, which is the fiscal end year-end report for 2016-17, there were still some edits needed, and the feeling was that before the auditors had a chance to review the report and then come back to the committee, that the committee should not make a recommendation to the board. So some of the recommendations were that that needs to be accrual accounting rather than just the cash accounting. And some of like the firehouse subsidy grant should be removed from the revenue side and moved to the liability side. And I don't want to go into a whole bunch of details, but those were the kind of things. So the Finance Committee asked that this come back to them before they made a recommendation to the board. So that's where it was there. And then Finance Committee also requested, there were some items on the finance, the budget items that really talked about the remaining water revenues from 2016-17 budget, and they wanted to have that referred to the Utility Advisory Committee because the Finance Committee felt it was more in their purview. And Director Cicino was at our meeting, and he agreed to take that to his Utility Advisory Committee. So last thing was that we changed our meeting date back to the Monday night before the regularly scheduled Los Osos CSD board meetings. We had it rescheduled to the Thursday 1 week before the board meeting, which unfortunately conflicted with the LOCAC meeting being on the same night, and one of our committee members is a member of LOCAC, so it was creating problems in trying to get attendance at our meeting or trying to rush through the meeting so people could go to LOCAC. So we changed our meeting date back to the Monday immediately before the board meeting, which in the upcoming month will be the 30th of November, which is a date, or pardon me, October. which is the day before Halloween, and we're going to have a costume contest. So if anybody wants to come to our committee meeting, make sure you wear your costume. Thank you.
Okay. Director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the CAPSLO meeting that I went to this month. I got put on a advocacy development committee, and we're trying to come up with ways to increase the visibility of CAPSLO in the community, because a lot of people don't still know what Community Action Partnership stands for, what it does, the wide range of services. It's not just a homeless shelter. It's not just veterans assistance. It's Migrant and Head Start, all kinds of programs. And one of the things that I thought about in terms of additional outreach might be if they have a little slideshow, a little tight little clip about their services and how to contact them, can we run that on Channel 20? I don't know what we are restricted to. If it would be a little 10-minute thing that they could plug in once a day, once an hour when there was downtime, I don't know how anybody would feel about that. I'd like to discuss that in the future, if it's even a possibility, because CAPSLO does great things. The Prado shelter, the center there, it's not just a shelter, it's a whole center. That's under construction. They just do great things, and I'd like to see if we can't help them out in some way.
All right, thank you. Any other?
Yeah, my Basin Management Committee. So the Basin Management Committee met on September the 20th. We had our executive director's report, and I'll just go through the items to identify. We talked about the funding for funding and financing programs to support the Basin plan implementation, and talked about the grant proposals and where we are on those. Talked a little bit about the status of the zone of benefit analysis, which is something that's been ongoing, and just that's just what the area included in the Basin Management area is. And right now there's fringe areas that aren't included, and how we're working to get those into the boundaries of the Basin Management area. And then there's the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act compliance and pending deadlines. We are an exempt organization from that because we do have a litigated basin, but we do have to comply with the requirements of state law and SGMA, et cetera. So we're working on with the county on that. And then there was an update on the wastewater connection update, which Renee already gave. But as of September 20th, there was 282 units that were not collected yet. And what Mr. Hutchinson basically said was that the majority of those were people who were low-income people and waiting for the grant funding, et cetera. So they were working forward to move those people forward. Right now, the flow discharges from the wastewater treatment plant or the recycled water facility, as of that date, are averaging about 430,000 gallons per day, which is about half as what was originally estimated in the projections that would be produced. Weekends peaks are about 470,000 gallons. So we had a discussion about that. We also had an update on the status of the basin plan infrastructure projects. The primary one right now is the drilling of the well on the east side of the basin to help preclude or lower the seawater intrusion issues by the wells that are on the west side of the basin. We had an update on the water conservation program. And last but not least, we had an update on our outreach program, because we're talking about being able to set up some either workshops or study sessions or outreach programs so we can talk to the community about water conservation measures and what can be done and the efficiencies of those items. And the last item we talked about was just monitoring in the creek or the discharge creek as far as the potential for discharge into the creek, which was mentioned previously, would recharge the lower aquifer. So we had a heavy agenda last month, so, and we will not be meeting this month. We will be meeting in November.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any pending questions. So before we go to public comment for items on the agenda, does anybody have anything to pull? I won't pull J unless somebody else wants it pulled. I'll just say my piece during the discussion on the motion.
H.
H.
And I just want to confirm D and E are already being continued.
D and E are being continued.
Okay, thank you.
So H is pulled. And D and E are removed. Okay, with that, we will open public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and consent agenda, except for the items pulled.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and the young lady's name is Adrienne Guidel. She's a recent transplant from Kansas, and so she's going to have some California law to learn. But she gets to learn it in Los Osos. Lucky her. Little bit about basin management and Jose's report. My mantra, please stop pumping the Palisades well. We've turned it off in the past for repair, and we were still able to provide the water for our community. So let's back that thing down so that we're not at risk for further seawater intrusion. I was surprised that the general manager was working on the community fund for sewer hookups. I thought when your board had an item a couple of years ago now, year and a half at least, that you were simply going to turn the money over to the county and let them do it through their process. It seems like she should not be involved in that. She's got work to do here. So that caught me off guard. With regard to the SDRMA letter, that's great. We've been successful in getting letters like that in the past, the no claim year letter. But it brought to mind that you did have a claim quite recently from Jason Zatt, and I am curious if that matter's been settled and what the outcome is, at what cost to the district, even the legal costs to process that. The general manager and the district bookkeeper have been working on the closing out and the cleaning up of past entries of 16-17 fiscal year, and that was provided in 11E. Yet it's not ready for prime time, and it's been pulled, sent back to committee. So I guess I'm frustrated because I don't see the district moving forward. That's what you all want to do. That's what you all say you want to do. Yet month after month after month, the finances are not cleaned up. So, similar to my comment at the beginning of the meeting, I think perhaps you should look at a full-time accountant in-house so they can have a watchful eye on all the aspects of the finances and then continue with a part-time general manager.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. If I heard right, the accountant, the new accountant's only going to be here 8 hours a week. That's where you should be spending your money. If she's competent and she has expertise, she's the one that can clean this up. It's been going on 3.5 months since you approved grudgingly approved the budget with a whole list of concerns, and those concerns are still there. If 11E, I think it was 11E, had not gone to the committee and had gone directly to the auditor, I can't even imagine what the initial audit report would have looked like. And I'm a little disappointed Marshall didn't bring up a few of the things that came out of that meeting. There's an error in the fire department of over $900,000. We're not talking, I'm not coming up here nitpicking about $5,000, $3,000, $2,000, $100. There are major dollar amount discrepancies in that report. But just think, if it hadn't have gone to committee and it had gone directly to the auditor, what the response from him would have been, from them would have been, first of all, and if they used those numbers to produce a report, that wouldn't have been a true reflection of the position of the district. And you have a fiduciary responsibility. It's probably your most important responsibility to this district. That's where you should be spending the money to have her here more hours. I was at the Finance Committee meeting. I talked to her a little bit after. I think she may be competent. But it goes back to who was hired initially as the accountant for the district, that there was a need for this person. We were told Mr. Stilts was able to handle this. We haven't had anywhere near a clean financial. I can't even remember the last time. This is your main responsibility. And when $900,000 errors are showing up in the fire department and all of the tax revenue isn't showing in funds and all the assessments aren't showing in funds, when the tax year has closed at the county and we know this is a teetered community, when does it stop? Enough's enough, and we just get it done. And if you have the professional that can do it, let's get it done.
Thank you.
Steve Best, I was not aware that we did not have a full-time accountant or bookkeeper. This is being a person of a businessman, having a business. You can't run a town like this without knowing what your budget is and how you're managing your money day in and day out on a regular basis. Without that, you got your head in the sand, and this is mismanagement, and you're spending your money wrong. I was opposed to spending more money on Ms. Osborne for other reasons, because I felt that she wasn't qualified to earn it. I think you should be spending the more money on the account. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, except those pulled? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. This time we have pulled item H, and we have removed item D and E. Sure.
I'll go ahead and make a motion, which is my usual responsibility here. I'll go ahead and move that the board go ahead and receive and file the administrative and committee reports and adopt the consent agenda, with the exception of C, D, E, H, and J.
C?
Not C.
Or pardon me, D, E, H, and J. Thank you for
Are you pulling Jay?
I thought you said you were
pulling. No, I said unless somebody else wanted to, I was just going to say my thing right now.
Well, I wanted to have a comment on Jay, so.
Well, I think we can comment, but
okay.
If you want to discuss it.
No, I thought you were pulling. I apologize. All right, let me revise my motion from scratch here. I'll go ahead and move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda with the exception of D, E, and H.
Second.
Okay, before we have a vote, I just want to, I'll let you go ahead if you'd like.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Jay because I helped to write the press release that went out there. And I think the one thing that I just wanted to clarify, I think that during the bankruptcy, our employees had no cost of living or pay increases, but they performed and they provided services at what I consider to be the highest level. So the modest 2.1 cost of living increase, which is it's modest to say the least, but I think what this does is it allows the board to continue the commitment to our ratepayers to make sure that we're able to make the necessary capital improvements to ensure that we have stable sources of water and solve or at least address the issues that led to the current declaration of water shortage and do so within the current rate structure that we just adopted. So I wanted to thank staff, and then I wanted to say thank the community, and I just think that this is a good solution to thanking our employees for what all they've done over the past few years.
Okay, well, my and I couldn't be here. It was a holiday when we had the special meeting on that, and so that's how it goes. And I want to say, while I'm pleased that an agreement has been reached, and I understand the value of having reached an agreement and putting that behind us, my objection to this is both that I think that we had a way to both reward the employees for their service, keep the faith with them, going back before, as Director Ohilski mentioned, to the time when we were not giving increases. And we had a more optimal way of doing that that was rejected, so that a different hill was died upon. And so both to the ratepayers and to our employees, I feel like there was a more optimal solution that wasn't reached. And I regret that very much. And look, I mean, I'm a member of a union. I'm a teacher. And I'm not objecting to union activity or collective bargaining, but I do think that in this case, like I said, without getting too far into the details, I thought that we could do better for our employees and our ratepayers through a more optimal solution that was rejected. And so for that reason, I don't support this, but it's not because I begrudge the employees of this district their raise. It's because I wanted to do better for them and find the money in a different way that was rejected. So with that, I will, do we have resolutions here?
Yes.
Yes, so we need a roll call.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Vice President Millage.
Yes.
President Storm.
Yes, except for Jay. No Jay.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no regular action items, so we will proceed to what is now 12, discussion of pulled consent items, and that would be former 11H, adopt resolution approving the restated contract between LOCSD and Grace Environmental Services for general manager services.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Pursuant to negotiations between the district and Grace Environmental, I prepared this draft restated contract to place before you. Part of it is my personal preference is to restate contracts with changed terms rather than create a chain of addendum after addendum after addendum and having to look 12 places to figure out what the contract means. So that's why the form is that way. It's just it's better for me. When we had to figure out the lease for this building, we had to go, we probably spent 3 hours looking through 15, 16, 17 addendums to figure out what's going on. I don't want to create that problem for somebody else in the future. The changes that we have proposed in this restated contract are to specifically require that Grace Environmental provide full-time services. Bear in mind that the contract is between the district and Grace Environmental. As an independent contractor, Grace would have the ability to decide exactly how to staff that over time, but make sure that's done. And it's important when you have an independent contractor contract to make sure that it actually is one. Otherwise, we would have a situation where PERS would come in and say, this is actually an employee and all these benefits are due. Now you owe us some PERS contributions, and we're doing our best to avoid that. In changing from a more generalized contract without a specific reference to a number of hours and instead specifying that it was going to be full-time, we've contemplated changing the compensation from the $6,205 in the current contract to $8,010.50. Not coincidentally, the $8,010.50 is the amount the district paid previously for part-time work from Campa and Associates. But this contract contemplates equivalent of full-time provision of service. We do state in the draft contract that it's everybody's intent to look at it again in 6 months. It's not a six-month contract, but we put in language that so that everybody understands on both sides of the contract that everything will be reevaluated in terms of the district's needs and the ability of Grace Environmental to supply those needs. And we also put in a paragraph that would allow expenses to be reimbursed if the expenses are approved ahead of time by the district. With that, I'm prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions before we open for public comment? Okay, at this time we'll take public comment on this item.
Julie Tacker again, and I do have some questions. There's been no reportable action out of closed session. Each time you've had Grace Environmental or the performance review of Ms. Osborne on your closed sessions, no reportable action doesn't get you to here, and certainly not onto a consent calendar. There would have been something to report, and that didn't happen. So I don't know how that worked, and I really just don't like it, because it's a surprise to hide it on a consent calendar. When you got to this item, pulled and put at the bottom of the agenda, President Storm said, we have no regular items, no regular agenda items. You didn't have any regular agenda items last month either. That's something you need to ask yourselves, goes to the quality of the work and the performance. I don't know why your contract isn't about performance. The references in the staff report to the Campa contract are irrelevant. Mr. Campa was here to do the job. Didn't matter how much time his contract, he didn't say this is a part-time contract. The Grace Environmental contract doesn't say this is a part-time contract. Both contractors said they would do the job. And when you hire a general manager as an employee, they're contract employees, but they're 24/7. They're 24/7. So this is a ruse, this idea that we're making it a full-time position. It's always a full-time position. You are the general manager by law. You are on duty always. So something else, there was a small online newspaper article about this, and Mr. President Storm made a comment on his Facebook page about it. He was disappointed in it or whatever, but he compared it or referenced a 35-hour a week job becoming a 40-hour a week job, and that the person was being paid $20 an hour. That isn't this. So while he was quelling whoever reads his Facebook page, cooling them off, this is a $2,000 a month increase. $2,000 a month is what some of those people who can't hook up to the sewer make. That's their whole month or less. So $2,000 a month increase on top of $6,000 a month is a lot of money for some people. The attitude that this is simply just going to become a full-time job and they should be compensated as such, really, in my mind, is more time, more money for mediocre work. Nothing more is going to get done. The performance review is where you should be. This isn't working for the district. The fact that you have to take financials off the agenda because they're not ready to approve is indicative throughout the tenure of this firm.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, bothers me a little bit that County Council compared this situation, or tried to compare this situation, or put it in the same context as your previous general manager. Your previous general manager didn't perform. He's gone. There's a reason for that. I'm going to go at it a little different way. Finding out that this new accountant is only working 8 hours, and one of your major, I think it is your major, responsibility is your fiduciary responsibility, which comes from the staff at the district, but the buck stops with the general manager. It's been months, month after month after month, that inaccurate statements are going out, being provided to the public, being provided to committees. I made the comment at Finance the other night. I think this report that was potentially going to go to the auditor was a step back from where we were a couple months ago. So here's the solution. That difference in these two contracts, the contract currently and the proposed contract, let's use that money to pay the accountant until the district is on strong financial standing with respect to the documents that are provided that have a financial impact. When that is all cleared up, and that's all taken care of, then you come back and see if you need to address the general manager having an increase in salary. Because if that is off the table and we're just producing with the new system, new reports, and they're all clean and fine, I don't know that you're going to need her to have those additional hours. A tremendous amount of time has been spent on the budget, the financials, the information to the auditors, and it continues to be wrong, and there's a misunderstanding of what government accounting is. You may have somebody now who can get you over that hump. That's where the money should go, not 8 hours a week, where the first 2 hours she comes in, the next week she's getting up to speed of what happened the last week, or what new information came forward from the county. I wish all the directors had been in the audience at the finance meeting, because I think you'd be taking a different direction tonight, or at least postponing this. Do you want to solve this issue that goes on month after month? This is your way to solve it.
Thank you.
Stephen Best. Supervisor Gibson once told me when I asked, what is it going to take for us to get our proper fair share of our tax money that we people of Los Angeles deserve? Is when we change the CSD, basically what he said is, I'm cutting it short, I'm paraphrasing, because basically he was saying that our CSD is so messed up that until we see a change, that we're not going to see anything more coming from the county to help us get through things. We're paying the penalty. And I was hoping that the last election was going to do it for us. I don't see it. We're not getting anywhere. And I hear, people are always saying, to hell with the CSD. We don't need a CSD. And I keep saying, thinking to myself, I was one of the big proponents of the CSD, thinking, we need the CSD like anything else, like we need air. But I'm questioning myself. And I, there's a lot of things that this body needs to do, and we just don't do it. And a lot of that work, and that, a lot of that responsibility falls on the general manager. And it takes the direction by the board to the general manager to getting it done. And it also takes the general manager getting the board to do what needs to be done. And I don't see it happen. And it's a two-way street. I don't think she's earned it. I think it's way too early. No, it's way too early. And you need to get a good account. You need to get on top of what's going on first. You need to show this town that this board, this CSD, can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I don't know. I was at Bruce Gibson's meeting, and I didn't hear anything that Mr. Best just said. That isn't really what he said. Anyway, on this issue came up on Nextdoor due to a person who posted the new Calcos News, whatever it's called, the article, which, of course, had the most damaging headlines to make it be the most sensationalistic, horrible thing that the LOC was doing. They're increasing this to this huge amount of money. Oh, woe is me. It was pretty interesting. So on Nextdoor, I kind of followed up with that, and I found an article the Tribune had written in June of 2017. And we are at the very bottom of the heap of salaries paid to CSD managers. We are at the absolute rock bottom. And even with the increase, we'll still be at the rock bottom. So I don't know who you think you're going to hire to go for less money than rock bottom. And frankly, my opinion to Ms. Osborne has been that she has done an excellent job. She has worked her tail off. She has worked really, really hard. Who else has finally gotten all of this financial mess into where it's manageable? We had a clean audit. I just don't get why everybody's so negative about this. Also, on Nextdoor, somebody did the math. It's $6 per person per year I mean, really, is that too much to ask? So I'm just absolutely at the other end of this. I truly feel she deserves it. She's been here long enough. She has proven. But, of course, the people who are always negative are just up here feeding you negative stuff. And anyway, I hope you go ahead and give her the increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, let's bring it back to the board. Who would like to?
Well, I probably should since I pulled the item.
That makes sense.
I feel some of the same frustration that we've heard here tonight, and that is I don't see a clearer financial picture than I've seen 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I think our last clean audit came well before Grace was on board. It's not how hard you work or how much time you put in, it's the results. And I don't see the results in our financial reports. And that is what bothers me the most. And so I'm just starting to wonder about bringing in the accountant more often for more time. I'm also a little upset that we trained Mr. Stiltz on our MIP system, and now we're training an assistant of his. What did he bring to the table for us? I guess maybe the hair on my neck went up when I first heard the words friend. I have a friend who I think could be a good accountant for us. I'm not so sure he has been. And so those are my frustrations. I don't feel like we're getting anywhere in terms of our financial picture. And I'm not convinced that we're going to get there without more outside accounting help.
Okay. Anyone else?
I was going to split the baby here, but nobody else wants to talk, so... I just wanted to clarify one thing before I started my comments, because a couple of the speakers said this is a raise for Renee Osborne, but it's not, because the contract is with Grace Environmental. So whether Renee's here or somebody else is here, is just, it's not Renee per se. But I do agree with what Chuck said, and I'm wondering, is there a way, and again, I chair the Financial Advisory Committee, and I was very impressed with Adrian at our meeting on Monday. So I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can keep this but also increase the funding for the accountant so we can get Renee up to speed, or pardon me, Adrian up to speed quicker, because this 8 hours per week shocked me when I found that out, to tell you the truth. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we can get her up to speed quicker and have her on board more hours a week, but still do this. So that's why I'm saying, if there's a way to split the baby, that's what I would like to be able to do.
So I'll just say none of those concerns are illegitimate. I think a lot of them need to be addressed. I just wonder then, what is the end game of all of that? And what I see it being is this sort of broken record cycle. And so I know that this is of an abused cliche at this point, but there is this saying that you hear all the time, that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing you've been doing and expect different results. So basically, along those lines, my inclination is to try and move the other direction, see if more time, more support, and I think we should get more support from the accountant, and see if that doesn't improve things. I think the underlying supposition to a lot of these comments is that somehow this is necessarily, you know, having a full-time contract instead is going to make things worse. It might. But it also might make them better. And at this point, after, I don't know, what is it now, almost 4 years on this board, it seems to me like we've tried having a part-time general manager, we've tried having a full-time PERS employee general manager. And they've all had their downfalls, and they've had their pluses and their minuses. And I just feel like, you know, come on, let's try this for a while. I think there is forward progress. It's not that these it's not that your concerns are wrong. So I think we can disagree about what direction to take here and still agree about how and what we need to fix. And so that's where I come down. I would also say that I definitely support getting this bookkeeper more time if we can do that too. But I don't think those things are mutually exclusive, as has been suggested. And Marshall had an idea of splitting the baby. But right now, what's before us is this contract. If we have to bring it back, I think we're going to have another meeting in no time at all. Let's find some money for more bookkeeper time, at least while we're sorting all of this out. But for right now, I'm in support of just approving this contract and trying this direction.
Chair Storm, can I just clarify something? When I said split the baby, I wasn't saying I didn't mean what you just said.
No, I know you didn't.
But what I meant was do this and that.
I know what you meant.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But other people have suggested that we take this money and you know and do that. So I
that sounds more like twins instead of split the baby.
Yeah, okay. It sounds more like divide. Yeah, right. So
oh,
I think.
Stop.
Okay. So Director Tornatsky.
Well, I haven't worked with Renee on issues of finance and managing the budget. I have worked with her on a variety of other things, and frankly, it's been a positive experience for the whole time that I've had a chance to work with her. She's a good manager, she's smart, she gets stuff done. That's what I look for. And the thing that I've been working on, which is, it's sort of out of the domain that has sort of been argued about to a great extent. So, and I think, how can you predict if a person is not working full-time at a salary that is commensurate with what this industry comes up with?
May I make a motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have additional comment.
Okay.
Before you make that motion. I certainly think we're getting better service than we did during the CAMPA era. I was really dissatisfied with the level of effort there. I'm not dissatisfied with level of effort now. It's results that are bothering me. And I don't think that the salary that we're putting out there is out of line at all. I mean, you heard Lynette, we're at the bottom end. And you attract what you are willing to pay for. I'm just not sure. I guess I'd like to get the hours with the accountant first. That's the thing that I think we really need.
I understand that.
And can I comment too one more? And I agree totally with Chuck. I'd like to, if there's a way, again, I must have misspoken, but if there's a way that we could do this and get the accountant up to more hours per week to get her up to speed and to get our reports where they need to be, that's what I'm trying to get at right now, so. And I think Chuck and I are on the same page on that.
I hope we can do that. So what I would just add is, and since I teach math now, and I just did a little back of the envelope calculation, and you know, whatever your title is, 24 hours a day, going from 3/5 of the week to 5/5 of the week, and then having a roughly 8 to 6 ratio of the pay going up, that's actually value for us time-wise. So, I'm okay with that. I think what's underlying the complaints about the money and all that is, you know, they don't like her. So fine, but let's just be clear. That's what that's about. It's not about, are we paying too much or whatever. That's nonsense. So that's where I come down. So, yes.
Thank you. All right. I move to adopt the resolution approving the restated contract between the Los Osos Community Services District and Grace Environmental Services for General Manager Services.
Second.
Motion and a second. The resolution, is it?
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Milledge?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
No.
Director Ohilski?
I'm going to vote yes, but with a qualifier, so, and I'm just putting this on record. I will vote yes, but I also, in the short term, I would like to see us increase the hours for the accountant and get up to speed so our financial reporting is accurate in the short term. So I'd like to see us, I mean, if we're talking about 8 hours a week, I don't know what the hourly rate is, but, you know, I don't think it could be that much, quite frankly. So I mean, if we're paying $20 an hour, that's $160 a week. So I'm sure there's money in our budget to do that. So I'm going to vote yes with the qualifier that I really expect the bookkeeper to be brought on board and undertake the hours necessary to get us a clean financial report.
President Storr?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the agenda. It concludes the number 12. So future agenda items, I think what I would say about future agenda items is if we need board action for the CAPSLO public service announcement, let's have that. If we don't need it, if that's a staff thing, then I think we're okay there. That Thank would be you. Number one. And number two is if we have... We need board action for the bookkeeper. Let's do board action for the bookkeeper. And like with number one, if we don't, if it's a staff thing or we have the budget for it, then I agree with what Director Ohilski said. Are there any other future agenda items we would like to consider? Okay, thank you very much. At this time, we can have closing board comments.
I just want to thank the fire people again for the safety fair. Again, I thought that was an awesome event. If you could thank all your people that worked with you, I really appreciated that. I know I talked to a lot of people that were there when I was there, and I talked to a lot of school kids that went there, and they really enjoyed the roll on the ground events and all the bracelet stamping. So, again, I want to thank the fire for that.
Any other?
Make sure that they, it goes without saying, but stay safe. Just stay safe. We're about 2 months away from needs and wishes. Mark the calendars, coming soon.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think we're perfect, but I think we're more better, and we can get more better. Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to say to Chief Alex, who is back there, thank you, yes. That I wasn't able to attend the fire fair because I was up in a place in Northern California where I was way too close to a fire, and CAL FIRE responded to that. And as always, I am blessed and thankful for our fire services. Thank you so much for being our personal one.
Thank you. I'd like to say that as well. I'd like to say that you have my support. I know when I first came on the board, I made it a point, and this was before you were here, I made it a point to remind then Chief Veneris about how when my then 3-month-old son wasn't breathing, you guys were right on top of it, and I'm eternally thankful for that. I'm also thankful for the work CAL FIRE has done up north. My sister lives in Sebastopol, and it's, like I said, it's a lot to reflect on at this point, but I am just so glad that we've been able to keep up with our funding our fire department here. We are right on the edge of the forest there, and you have, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody just because this is a democratic institution, but you have my complete support. And I look forward to continuing that support while I remain on the board. So thank you once again. Everybody have a good night. Do reflect on your evacuation procedure if you need to, go bag and all of that. And I wish everyone a good night, and thank you for attending.